Stay standing with me this morning for the reading of God's Word. I'm thankful to be able to bring the Word today. I want to preach a message today called Stand Strong. Say, Stand Strong. In a day that we live in and how culture changes from one day to the next, how our society changes from one day to the next, us as the people of God, because our God does not change, we have to be able to stand strong. So I want us to start in Joshua 1:9. It should be on the back screen. We'll start in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, and then later on we'll jump into Acts 16. Verse 9 says this, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Pray with you this morning. Father God, we thank you, God, that we get to come into your house. We thank you that we get to have a moment of worship, God, and a moment of the word. God, let us start today, God, by just bringing you praise. God, you are worthy of our praise. God, who shall we fear today? If our God, who says that he is for us, who can be against us? In Jesus' name, Father God, hide me behind your glory today. God, open up the hearts of your people, God. Let the word fall on good soil today. In Jesus' mighty name. Give God a hand clap as you're seated this morning. Amen. Amen. I know that today is our students' move-up day, but I just thought, I saw it fit that today not only be the move-up day for our students and our young ones, but how about today we have a move-up day for all of us? Amen. All right? How about we all excel today in our faith, in our trust, and in our walk with Jesus today? So let's dive in this morning. There are moments in all of our lives where we have had to remind ourselves to stand strong. Or maybe we've had to lean into the word of the Lord and let him remind us to stand strong. There are going to be moments that we need to stand strong as the people of God. And I want us to know why we're reading Joshua to start off this morning. Joshua is in a very, very odd place in this moment of his walk with God. And in this moment with the children of Israel, Moses, God's servant, as God says that he is, the one that has walked with the children of Israel, the one who's parted the Red Sea, Moses coming into Joshua has died. It looks like everything's over. It looks as if things are not going to progress. But then there's something that happens in Joshua's life. Joshua has been being trained for this moment. He just didn't realize it. Joshua is called on upon God, by God, to be the one, the next guy, to step up to the plate and walk with the children of Israel as God commands him. And so Joshua has some things that happens to him. Like I said, Moses is dead, and so God is looking for someone to call on, and Joshua is that guy. So Joshua has to be commanded by God to stand strong and be courageous. Why? I don't know exactly why, but I can only imagine that what they're about to face, he's going to have to allow himself to be strong so that the people around him to be strong. Isn't that how we like to live our life today? That when the guy that we look to most often, maybe if you look to our president, if he's not strong, then it's hard for us to be strong. Or maybe somebody in your family, that guy, that person, or that woman in your family that has always been strong, if they begin to get a little weak, then it causes you to get a little weak. And so if the guy at the head of everything is strong, then everyone else is able to be strong because he's the leader. And so Joshua is called upon by God to be this next guy that leads him into this next season of life. Their fearless leader, Moses, has died. Maybe Joshua's looking to tomorrow. Maybe Joshua's looking to what is up ahead of this journey. Maybe he doesn't know what to expect. But he has to have this realization that God is calling upon him to stand strong. Say, stand strong. Maybe he was comparing himself. Maybe he was saying, well, Moses, this guy, I know we had a stuttering problem, but I mean, it didn't seem like it. If he was able to accomplish those things, I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe he was comparing himself like many of us do today. We look at ourselves and we look at the people that are recognized, maybe through a screen or a Facebook post. We compare ourselves day by day, over and over and over. Maybe that's what Joshua was doing. Maybe Joshua was comparing his resume to Moses' resume and was like, God, how can I do this? How, if Moses was not able to go in, how can I lead these people in? But he had to lean into the word of the Lord, and it was stand strong. Have you ever had a moment of, can I do this? Have you ever a moment of, I don't know if I can get through this one? I'm sure we all have. Maybe in a sports world, maybe in your family, maybe a new job promotion, or maybe even having to forgive a broken relationship. There's moments where we've had a, can I do this moment? Joshua was facing this moment of, can I do this, here in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 starts off with God declaring the same promise as he did to Moses to Joshua. There was no reiteration of words. There was nothing else that God added or took away. The same thing that he told Moses, he was telling Joshua. So what does that tell us now? Maybe Joshua didn't see it, but Joshua was the guy. Joshua didn't have to compare himself to Moses because Moses had nothing on Joshua. Joshua had nothing on Moses. It was two different people. There were gifts and talents in Moses that God wanted to bring out. Joshua had gifts and talents that God wanted to bring out of him. If Moses couldn't go in, that was on him. But Joshua was going to be the guy to bring them into the promised land. Moses may not have been able to see it, but Joshua was about to receive a blessing. But he had to stand strong. Think about that moment of, can I do this? Joshua had a moment of, can I do this? He had to be reminded that he has to stand strong physically, but also spiritually. You can't stand strong in the natural and be weak in the spiritual. It won't work out. And vice versa, you can't be strong in the spiritual, but not be strong in the natural. It goes hand in hand. If you're not strong in all areas, at some point you're going to crumble. And so Joshua has to be reminded of this over and over to stand strong. This was the start of something new for Joshua. Even being Moses' right-hand man, he needed the unction of the Holy Ghost to perform this task. He couldn't just call himself. He couldn't just bring himself up to the occasion to walk these people in. He needed God to tell him what he was going to do. Oftentimes we get ourselves in trouble because of what we tell ourselves we're going to do. Oftentimes our walk with God is hindered because we begin to plan our steps. When the Bible says he's the one that orders our steps. Joshua could not order his own steps in this moment. He knew the promise. He knew that they were going to inhabit the land and there was going to be giants to conquer. But day by day, he had to put his footprints where God was leading him and the children of Israel. Amen? Amen. Maybe you today feel as if you can't take on this new school year, students. Maybe if you're a parent or an employee in the school system, maybe you feel like you can't take on this school year. If Joshua could do it, you can do. Just like Moses couldn't be compared to Joshua, Joshua couldn't be compared to Moses. You can't be compared to Joshua. I told our students a few weeks ago, oftentimes we compare our lowest points to the stories of the Bible and the people that we read about at their highest points. And it can cause us to almost be like, well, how can I do this thing? You don't have to compare yourself to the biggest moments and the people that we read about in this word's moments of life, their highest points. You don't need to compare your lowest points to their highest points. God's not calling you to do that. He's wanting to encourage you. He's wanting to strengthen you to stand strong no matter what you're facing. Our students and our teachers are going to have to stand strong this year. Maybe some of our students, maybe the ones that we lead on a Wednesday night, maybe they don't feel, maybe feel like they can do it this year. They've had to do it for so many years now, maybe they don't feel like they can do it. But as a church and as a youth group and as a people, we have to be the ones to stand strong. Maybe if you're a teacher or you're an employee in the school system, maybe you feel like you can't do that this year. Maybe you've been doing it for years on end and you don't know what this year's going to look like. I don't know what this year's going to look like. You don't know what this year's going to look like, but I know what our God looks like. Our God's not going to be the one who's saying, I don't know what to do right now. We might not have no idea what this new school year is going to have in it, but our God says stand strong. Stand strong. If I am for you, who can be against you? No one. That's the implication there. If God is for the people of God, if we are walking our life as Christians, then God is for us. Who can be against us? Name it. I want you to name it, and I want you to put that resume up to God's resume. It will not stand. If God be for us, who can be against us? But I want to encourage you that you may not feel like you can do it this year. Maybe not even in the school system. Maybe as a family. Maybe whatever your job is. Maybe you feel like you can't do it any longer. As long as you are following the Lord, you will be provided for. It may be difficult, but it will be worth it. I come to know this as I was preparing for this message a few weeks ago. And I just didn't know this, but and you might, but 365 times in the Bible, it says, do not be afraid or do not be frightened. It's almost like God knew what he was doing. 365 times. How many years, how many days are in our year? 365. What does that tell us as people of God? That every single day that you and I get to wake up, there is a promise over our life that God is commanding us to stand strong and do not be afraid. Like I said a minute ago, culture may change from today to tomorrow, but if it changes tomorrow, we still have the promise of God in our life to stand strong and do not be afraid. Every day this year, and let me just say this, students, 365 times in one book outnumbers the amount of days you're going to go to school. So you might be able to read that 2 or 3 times every single day. So you're covered. You're going to be all right. Teachers and employees, you're going to be all right. You have a promise every single day from our good God. Do not be afraid. You do not have to fear the enemy. You do not have to fear society. You don't have to fear politics. You don't have to fear culture. Why? Because the Bible says not to. The Bible says do not be afraid. Do not get weak. Do not grow weary in well-doing, but stand strong. Joshua needed to stand strong in this moment, and he was going to need it every day. I can imagine that every day Joshua and the children of Israel woke up, that each day it encountered a new giant. It encountered something else they were going to have to go over, a new trial, a new tribulation, but they were covered. They might not have realized it, but they were covered. The reason why Moses couldn't go in is because he was disobedient. He didn't do what God called him to do in the last few moments before they were able to walk in. But Joshua was going to have to learn from Moses' mistake. He was going to have to follow God each and every day and be obedient. And that's what we should do as people of God. We have to stand strong and be obedient in this life. Let's talk about two people who had to face a very peculiar, very tough moment in their life. If you will, in your Bible or maybe on your phone, if you will jump to Acts 16 with me this morning. I'm sure we know this story in and out. I hope we do. It's an awesome story that we get to read about today. We'll read about Acts 16, 16 to 24. It says this, as we were going, this is Paul, Silas, and Luke. Luke's writing here about this experience that him and Paul and Silas are going to have to go through. And it says this, starting with verse 16, as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. And this she kept doing for many days. Man, I can only imagine Paul. The Apostle Paul, I can only imagine him only dealing with this woman for just a few days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, there it is, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. How good is our God? Verse 19, but when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, these men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore their garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into the prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Verse 24, having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet with stocks. This is a very profound story here in Acts 16 between Paul and Silas. These two men were on a journey I can only imagine to be a roller coaster. They were forbidden by God to go into Asia and preach the gospel. And so God leads them into Macedonia, or also known as Philippi. And there's not much to be known about why God wouldn't let them go to Asia right at that moment. But there's a little implication because they know they're going to meet up with Luke. Luke's going to be there waiting on them. And so Luke gets to have this moment. The same one who would write about Jesus' lifetime would also be able to be the one to write this down here in Acts 16. So maybe if Luke would have been in Philippi and Paul and Silas would have been in Asia, there wouldn't have been a writing down of what's happening. So I'm thankful that Paul and Silas were going to be obedient to the word of the Lord to go to Macedonia, go to Philippi. So arriving in Philippi, this is what most would call Paul's second missionary journey. And so Paul would arrive here in Europe with a task. He would arrive here with something to do. And so this is important to know because we have to understand what Paul is going through and why he's being guided by the Holy Spirit into this moment, into this new foreign land. We're going to see in a moment that why it's important to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit even in the midst of an unknown circumstance. Paul and Silas wasn't 100% sure why God wouldn't let them into Asia, and so they just had to be obedient and go to Philippi. And so before we talk about them being thrown in jail, we have to read a little further back and talk about what's happening here before they get to this moment. So I'm sure they were confused, but things begin to take place as soon as they arrive here at Philippi. As soon as they meet up with Luke, something begins to happen right off the bat. From the moment they arrive in Philippi, things begin to happen, miracles and breakthroughs. Paul and Silas would meet up with this woman named Lydia. There was not too much to be known about Lydia, but that she was a seller of purple goods. And in that aspect, that could possibly imply that she was maybe royalty or she had just had a lot of money. They meet up with this woman named Lydia, and they're looking for something, and they're looking for somewhere to go. And verse 13 says this about Paul and Silas. They weren't there for no reason. They were there on assignment. Verse 13 says this: Paul and Silas were seeking for a place of prayer. Lydia, who Luke describes as the worshiper of God, was in the midst of meeting with Paul and Silas. And the Bible also explains that there's some women there. And so Paul and Silas are having a conversation with these women and with Lydia, and Luke's writing down all what's happening. And something begins to happen in Lydia's life. Lydia's listening in on what Paul's saying, and she's like, there's something different about this guy. There's something different about what's happening with Paul and Silas here already. So I feel something I haven't felt. Lydia was a worshiper of God, but she something was being unlocked inside of her that she's never felt before. And this is interesting to me. Lydia and her whole entire household would be later on baptized by Paul. So this woman who was a worshiper of God was listening to the wisdom and the knowledge that Paul had of Jesus Christ. And something began to stir inside of Lydia, but not only in Lydia, in her household. And I can only imagine that the other women that she was around began to feel something rise up in Paul and Silas. And so their whole household was baptized. And they were brought further into the kingdom of God. But I want you to notice this, that they may have not known while they were going to Philippi, but I want you to understand that immediately God began to build partnership. Immediately God began to put people together that they didn't even know they were going to meet. Paul and Silas had no idea they were going to meet Lydia. They really didn't even know that Luke was going to be there. But immediately Paul and Silas were beginning to have partnerships in a way that they've never had partnerships. And so it's starting off strong. It's starting off as if this is going to be why we're here. Let's keep reading. And so their partnerships begin to take place. And I just want to say this. Don't ever forsake who you're partnered with, because you never know what's going to happen in your life or in their life. If something's happened between you and somebody, get it settled with. Don't burn a bridge, because you never know if you're ever going to need them or if they're going to need you. Paul and Silas are in this moment where they're having to build some partnerships. And we'll see in a moment why that is. And so this is where things begin to change for Paul and Silas. On the way to prayer, there was this girl who isn't named, who was possessed. And this is interesting to me. Like I said, it's starting off strong. They're building partnerships. People are being baptized. But things begin to take a change. They're on their way to prayer. And my question is, and it also applies to us today, why is it that while Paul and Silas are seeking a moment of prayer, the enemy steps in? Why is that? The moment that they are going to have a place to pray and a place to spend time with God, the enemy steps in and says no. He tries to put a road bump in their walk with Jesus. Have you ever been trying to read your Bible or be in a moment of prayer and distraction comes? Almost every time, right? It's crazy. It's crazy to me how we can be so awake at 12 o'clock at night but open our Bible to read and we're out in two sentences. I'll never understand it. If you want to fall asleep tonight, just read your Bible and you'll fall asleep with a peace you've never known. Right? Right? Amen? It's crazy to me. The enemy will throw things in our way to make us stumble or fail. We need to understand that Philippi was filled with pagan temples. Philippi and most of Europe, even though God had begun to move through other parts of Jerusalem and out through that land, they were going to have to go to Europe because Europe was breaking out in pagan temples. There were false idols that were set up. And so Paul and Silas were really sent there to begin to get rid of those things. And this is what happens. The enemy steps in to try to distract Paul and Silas because he knows, and this leads to my first slide back here, that prayer carries power. Amen. We know that prayer carries power. But just as much as we know that, the enemy knows that. The enemy knows that when he has an assignment, when he's trying to get things done, when he's trying to set up things that aren't godly, he knows that when the people of God walk into the situation and they begin to pray, prayer carries power. Have you ever been in a situation where you thought it was hopeless, where you thought you didn't know how you were going to pay that bill, you didn't know how your loved one was going to come out of that addiction or that bondage, but you began to pray, you began to receive power from on high, and something began to shake, something began to happen? I can tell you why the enemy sent this girl, because the enemy was afraid. God tells us not to be afraid, but the enemy was about to lose it. What he had set up, the enemy was beginning to tear down. Prayer carries power. I can only imagine the Apostle Paul, this guy who we all look and we all kind of build up and everything we look to be an amazing God. The Apostle Paul, who would later on write that I pray in tongues more than any of you, he had a resume that was fit for this. The enemy was scared out of his boots because he knew that Paul and Silas, when they go in to pray, I have no choice but to back off. When the people of God go into a moment of prayer and a moment of praise, the enemy has to back off because our praise and our prayer carries power. Praise opens prison doors. Amen. Right? Give our God a hand clap. Our prayer carries power. The enemy knew that, and so that's why he's trying to distract Paul and Silas here in this moment. There can be times in our life where God is intending for us to do something for him, but we get distracted, we lose our focus, and we lose our perspective. When we lose those things, things begin to dwindle. Things begin to grow weak. And so as people of God and as children of God, we have to learn to keep our focus, to keep our perspective right, and things will begin to change in the positive. Paul and Silas was sent there to get rid of these temples, get rid of these false idols, these false gods. How encouraging is it to us that the same God who was persecuting Christians is the same one being an evangelist in Europe? That should give us hope. That should give us hope. If God can use a guy like Paul, why can he not use you and I? Right? Paul was literally, at the time, Saul was literally killing Christians. And he had a Damascus Road experience. And something flipped in his life. And he said, I've been doing this all wrong. And God set something inside of him. He fills him with the Holy Spirit, and something begins to burn inside of Paul. He says, I have got to get this out. I have got to get this everywhere that I can get this. If it's Asia, I'll go there. If it's Europe, I'll go there. Wherever it is, you and I should be willing to go as people of God. If it leads us, like the song said, if it puts us in the fire, we'll rejoice because he's there. If it puts us on the cross, we'll rejoice because he's not there any longer. Amen. No matter where it leads us, it should lead us with hope. It should lead us to want to see things changed as the people of God. What the enemy was attempting to stop them with was just a kickstarter to the plan of God. How many times have you seen that in life? When the enemy throws something your way and in your life and in your family's way, and he thinks it's going to tear you down, thinks it's going to tear the people of God down, when in reality it's just a kickstarter to what God was wanting to do all along. That's what happens here in this moment, starting off with this little girl who was possessed. After days of mocking Paul and Silas, God uses Paul to deliver this girl from the enemy. The girl was used by her owners to be a fortune teller. She was so wrapped up by not only the enemy, but people. The enemy was using her, but so were people. Has anyone ever used you before? You know what I mean. The enemy's tried to tear you down, but so have people. People tried to tear some of us down in this room. But can I tell you that if God says stand strong against the enemy, he can tell us to stand strong against people. People, we're not fighting a war that's flesh and blood. Principalities need personalities. It's quiet. It's quiet. This is not a war between flesh and blood. It's a spiritual war, but the enemy will use people just as God will use us. And so we have to learn to stand strong even in the midst of when people tell us to stop. Even when people said, this isn't worth it, we have to learn to stand strong. Even when people say, you're doing it wrong, we have to stand strong as the people of God. Amen. She was used by not only the enemy, but also by people. So these people who owned this girl brought Paul and Silas before the rulers of Philippi, beat them, and threw them in prison. I can imagine at this moment, Paul and Silas are like, what is going on? God, you sent us here, but I did not think this is what this was going to lead to. Paul and Silas, I'm sure, had a moment where they were like, okay, we had it wrong, we missed it, and we got to go back. We have to keep reading the story. We have to keep listening and talking about what's happening here in this moment, because like I said, this is a setup. The enemy just doesn't know it. What the enemy's trying to stop Paul and Silas will is a setup to break out in Europe. There are moments of decision. Paul and Silas had to make a decision and make one very quickly. There are moments in our life where we have to stop leaning towards ourselves and stop relying on what's on the inside. Stop relying on what we can do by ourselves and start relying on what God has put on the inside of us. What has He put on the inside of us, church? His Spirit. If His Spirit lives inside of us, then we need to be guided by the same Spirit to accomplish things, to break through things that are happening in the church world and in the culture outside of the church. We have to start looking at ourselves and start looking to God for our help. Paul and Silas were weak in the physical, but were in the spirit where Paul and Silas were so strong. They knew that no matter what happens, God is worthy of praise. Have you ever been in that moment? I'm sure you have. Think about it. Many times, I'm sure. Have you been in that moment where you've been to a place and you were like, I don't know how I'm getting out of this one. But as long as you begin to praise God and you begin to be obedient to Him, He brought you out. Amen. Many of us would not be in this room today if it wasn't for God bringing us out on the other side. Many of us wouldn't be in this room if it wasn't for our faith in Jesus. Some of us may have put our faith in other things and it led us down a dark road. But at the moment we begin to put our faith in God, He brings us out. He brings us out each and every time. What decision do they have to make? Number one, do I give up on this city? Or number two, do I keep my faith? This is the decision Paul and Silas had to make. For so I came to tell you that we have a decision to make. Just like Paul and Silas did, we have a decision to make. Are we going to give up on the city? Are we going to give up on what God's put us here to do? Or are we going to keep our faith and keep trucking along, keep moving forward in the plan of God? We have a decision to make even now. Each and every day that we wake up, we have to decide to rely on the do not be afraid. Or are we going to be afraid? Each and every day, we have to make that decision for ourselves as people of God. But I want you to see something. This is where God begins to pivot things back. Verse 25 says this: about midnight, I'm going to stop there. About midnight, I want you to see this. Paul and Silas could have been asleep if they were able to. Paul and Silas could have been just sitting there in their own muck. They were placed inside of a prison. A prison that honestly wasn't even a prison. I've seen pictures and I wish I would have put one up there today. But this prison was literally a watering hole. This prison, all it had was a bar on the front of the entrance to it. And everything else was down. So that means that anytime it rained, anytime the dew in the morning and the moisture would run down into that place, it would fill with water. It wasn't like your ordinary prison. They weren't chained up like this. They were chained up like this, raised up where their shoulders would pop out of socket, and they couldn't stand. They were beaten. They were battered. They were broken. They had a decision to make. They were in a prison. And about midnight, the Bible says, they could have just sat there. They could have just let everything go on the way they wanted it to go. They could have just sat there and did their whatever they could do in a prison. They could have just sat there and waited for the rulers to come bring them out again. But there was something that began to happen in that little chamber. A chamber that didn't even have any light in it. They were on the innermost prison. They didn't know what to look, what to do, what to look for. They were just there. They could have been weeping because of their scars, but they decided to bring praise. They decided to bring praise. Paul, I can imagine. Paul and Silas, I can imagine that as they're there in that moment and they're chained up and they're broken, they're beaten, they're battered, broke, busted, and disgusted, they were sitting there and they had a decision to make. The Bible says that about midnight that Paul and Silas began to sing praises unto a good God. I could only imagine if Silas would have looked at Paul and said, well, I don't like this song. It's too loud in this prison. I need you to calm it down a little bit. I can only imagine if he'd have said that to the Apostle Paul. Paul would have looked at Silas and said, it's not about what you want. It's not about your preference. It's about what I feel on the inside of this prison. That's what Paul and Silas had to understand. Silas, I'm sure if he would have said that to Paul, Paul would have been like, you got to get away from me. I'll rebuke you. If I don't have you to sing with me, I'll sing by myself. Paul knew there was something on the inside of him. He might have been singing Jeremiah Yoakum, didn't I walk on the water? I don't know what he may have been singing a Gaither Vocal Band song. I don't know. He may have been singing a Maverick City song. I don't know. He might have sung a song that we sung today. I'm not sure. All that matters is that Paul had a praise on the inside of him. He felt what Jeremiah felt. He felt what Jeremiah felt when Jeremiah, right? It's like fire, and it is shut up inside of me, and I have got to get it out. What the enemy wanted to stop, Paul was like, this is not going to be ended right here. It may end one day, but it's not going to end while I still have breath in my lungs, praise God. As long as you have breath in your lungs, child of God, it does not stop. It does not stop until you decide to give up. Paul and Silas didn't want to give up, though. But Paul and Silas weren't the only ones that experienced this praise that broke out in this prison. The Bible explains after verse 25 that not only did the prison door open for Paul and Silas, but every other prison door in that place shook off its hinges and fell to the floor. How awesome is it that when you and I decide to praise, we're not the only one that experiences it? Sometimes we're waiting for somebody else to praise for us. It's not when somebody else praises for us, it's when we praise. Church, the culture's not going to praise God. I'm going to tell you right now, the rocks aren't going to cry out in my place. And I want to tell you, if it's on my behalf, I'm not going to let it cry out for your place either. As our pastor, Pastor Daniel's not going to let the rocks cry out in your place. We'll stand in the gap all we need, but that's not what we're waiting on. We're waiting on the people of God to arise and get ready. I had a peculiar moment with God the other day in a prayer moment upstairs. And I don't know if I've ever asked God this kind of question, but I said, God, how many conferences is it going to take for this generation to come out? How many times do we have to travel 7 hours for this generation to get on its feet? How many times do we have to come into a church service to get it right? We need God. God is wanting us to stand strong. Paul and Silas had to stand strong. You know what faith looks like? Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, they have scars. Paul and Silas has been beaten. They're chained, but they have faith. Miss Gloria, faith looks like you not giving up. Even in that moment, walk forward. Walk in it. Stand strong. That's what faith looks like, is when you have nowhere else to go, but you keep moving forward. You keep trucking along, and you keep singing those praises to God. Give our God a hand clap. They weren't waiting for the right song. They weren't waiting for the right key. They just knew they needed breakthrough. I bet because of the wisdom of Paul in this moment, he began to see what was happening. He was like, okay, God, you sent us here. You sent us here and we're in this place, but there's something I feel on the inside of me and I see what you're doing now. It's not just about what Paul and Silas do. It's about what he's setting up for other people to do later on after they leave. Paul and Silas had faith. Can I tell you today that prison door is still open? If he did it then, he can do it now. Paul and Silas may be dead, but our God is not dead. Paul and Silas may be in heaven, but so is our God. Prison doors, if they are opened then, they open now. No matter what the prison door looks like, if you need a healing, you need a breakthrough, you have a bondage you can't get over, you have an addiction you can't break through, prison doors still open. Amen. Church, if we're going to see a generation rise, we have to believe that. A generation that's so lost in darkness, not all of them. We have the good ones. Amen. But the ones who don't know God and don't want anything to do with Him, if we're going to see those come out, students, if you're going to see those friends at school come out and come into the light of God, believe that prison doors still open. Believe that things can still change even when it looks hopeless. Prison doors still open. There are pivotal moments in our walk with Christ. Are you and I going to give up, or are we going to refuse to let the enemy win? The enemy thought he could break them. The rulers thought they could break them, but no. Paul and Silas were standing strong. Many of us would have given up already. Many of us would have given up when God changed our mind. Some of us wouldn't have even went to Philippi. But the ones of us who will keep going even when things change and they look like they're not going the way we want it, those are the people I want to be partnered with. The people who will keep moving forward no matter what it looks like, no matter what the enemy throws in our way, those are the people God's going to let loose. Paul and Silas had to be let loose at some point because there was something on them that wouldn't allow them to be chained to that wall any longer. There was a praise and a spirit of God on the inside of them that said, you're not going to end up here. You're not going to stay here. You might have to endure this for a moment, but praise opens prison doors. Amen. It matters what we do in the unknown moment. Why does it matter what we do? Because someone is listening. Verse 25 says this, and the prisoners were listening to them. Church, you have somebody listening to you. Member of the Forest Hill Church, you have somebody listening to you. They might not be saved. They might not even be in your friend group, but somebody's listening to you. Somebody's listening to what you say outside of a church building. Somebody's listening and waiting for you to get your praise on. Maybe it's God. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend that doesn't know God. But there are people listening. That's why it matters what we do in the unknown moments, because someone's waiting for the people of God to get it right. I can tell you this, the culture's going to be confused, as confused can be, until the church says, I know they're waiting for us. Church, he wouldn't have told us to go get them if they weren't waiting for us. They may be broken, they might not care, but when the Spirit of God begins to break out, something begins to change in their life. And like, I've never seen this happen before. If you want revival, it's got to start in here, but it better not stay in here. They better break out to the city. It better break out to every part that it will go. And when God's in it, it will not stop until we want it to stop. Amen. As they're lifting up praise to God, there's an earthquake and a sound, and the prison doors are swung open. But not only Paul and Silas's, everyone in the prison door. But there's more. I was thinking about this last night as I was studying. I was reminded, you know that those old infomercial CD, little like 45-minute long, felt like anyways, commercials would come on and be like, for just $29.99, you can get two CDs. But wait, there's more, right? You remember those? And there'd be like four extra CDs added, but only if you bought it within the 30 minutes, right? There's more here to be known about. Not only were the prison doors open for everyone in the prison, but I want you to see this, that the watch guard who was there also experienced something he didn't know was coming his way. In the Roman culture, if whoever was on guard duty for the night or for that week or whatever period of time it was in, if they were on duty and a prisoner escaped, brutal Roman culture, they would have to endure whatever sentence the prisoner that escaped was sentenced with. They would have to endure who they let out their sentence. They would have to go through the same thing that the person who escaped is going through. So the watch guard, he hears what's going on. He's hearing this earthquake. He's asleep, but something begins to happen that he hears people singing a song that he's never sung before, a song he's never heard before. Earthquakes begin to happen. The prison doors begin to shake, and he realizes that they're about to escape from the prison. And so he draws his sword, and he's about to kill himself. But Paul says, don't. We're all here. But it doesn't stop more. There's more. It doesn't stop there. There's more. But wait, there's more. Paul saves his life, but listen to what happens. The Bible says that when Paul tells him to stop, shows him that they're all there. What happens? This guard who doesn't know what's happening, he's hearing this song he's never heard before or never ever sung before, he is brought into the family of God. But wait, there's more. Not only is he brought to the family of God, he has this encounter with the Holy Spirit. His faith is put in God. He's baptized. But wait, there's more. His family is baptized. You may be after somebody. You may be praying for somebody to have a breakthrough in their life, but don't stop there. Pray for their other people that they're caring about. Pray for the people that you don't even know you need to be praying about. There's more. They experience breakthrough. Paul and Silas could have gotten stuck in between setting a girl free and being beaten, but they moved into what they knew would bring a difference. Maddie, team, you can come. And you might say, well, that didn't affect everyone. Only the people in Philippi experienced what happened that day. But there's more. Everyone knew what happened that night in the Philippian jail. Everyone. I want you to see this. What Paul and Silas went through, this story would go to set up the first church in Europe for the church of God. What God began with disciples would break out into Europe through a man named Paul and Silas. The first church would go and be planted in Europe. Lydia would be a part of that church. Luke would stay back as Paul and Silas leave to make sure everything is going right. Remember those partnerships I was talking about? It came into play. Paul and Silas had partnerships that when they left, somebody was still accomplishing what they had started through God. Paul would later on write to the Philippians, thanking them for being sharing people, loving people, and a righteous people. Philippians 1:12 says this, I want you to know that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Let me tell you this today, that what you're going through is for a purpose. You may not see it now, but someday you are going to look back. It may be 20 years from now, but one day you're going to look back and say exactly what Paul said here in Philippians 1. What has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. You might have to go through a prison, a dark prison moment. You might have to be placed in a fire, hopefully not physically, you know what I mean. You might have to endure something. You might have to go through that moment, but it's worth it. It was worth the beating for Paul and Silas. It was worth letting that little girl free. It was worth all of it because it advanced the gospel. Church, you want to know why culture is so bad? Is because the gospel has stopped being advanced. Not just in a one church secular setting. I'm talking about all over the world. God still moves. God still has a part to play. God still moves all across the world. But the people of God have got to get focused back on the gospel. They can't stay in here any longer. God won't let it. If we want the gospel to stay in here, why are we even here? We read about what Jesus commissioned the disciples to do. It was never supposed to be put in four walls and stay there. It was supposed to be in four walls to break out of there. As big as the earth is, the fire of God was never to be put to a stop. It was supposed to keep going. Going and going until the entire earth is filled with the Holy Spirit. Some people may ask the question, when's Jesus coming back? You want to know when Jesus is coming back? When the church looks like the church and the fire of God is advanced everywhere it can possibly go. Until the last soul is saved that wants to be saved. That's when Jesus is going to come back. If we want him to come back, if we want him more than anything, we have got to get busy. Every single church in the world, every single church in America, every single church in Europe, in Asia, every continent that there's a church, the church has got to get busy. Doesn't matter the denomination. I know we believe different things from other people down the road and across the world. Jesus is looking for the church to get busy. Peter, what did Peter do the day the Holy Spirit broke out? 3,000 people were saved the day that the Holy Spirit fell. 3,000 people. The Bible says that the kingdom of God and the gospel was advanced every single day. They would all have to face excruciating deaths. But like Paul said, it was worth it. It was worth it. It was worth the imprisonment. It was worth the beating. Because there was a breakthrough to be had. What started out in Europe as a complete miracle began to advance through Macedonia, Italy, France, Spain, Portugal, and eventually here. If Paul and Silas would not have been obedient to the Holy Spirit, even in the unknown circumstance, hundreds and hundreds of years later, Spain and Portugal would have this great idea that we got to get what we have here to America. We've got to get what we're feeling here. We've got to let the fire of God break out in America. It was the plan of God all along to let the gospel advance through all corners of the earth. All the nations of the earth The Bible says he would call unto himself one day. If he's going to do that, we got to get busy. Amen. You can send. You've got a hand clap of praise this morning. You can stand with me. Hallelujah. I'm thankful today that someone's faithfulness led to us being able to have salvation. I'm thankful today that because of Paul and Silas's faithfulness, what we have today is what we have. Thank you, God, for that word. Thank you, God, that he's still calling men and women unto himself. Thank you, Jesus, that people still have an opportunity. Seek him while he may be found. Lift your head, O ye gates. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to open this altar the same way I opened the altar for our students at Beach Retreat. The same way that God just spoke to this church. If you want to be a part of the people of God that advance this thing, you need to join this altar right now. If you are hungry and you are thirsting after righteousness, you better get yourself to this altar right now, because God's wanting to impart something in you this morning that will not end. You may be in that prison moment. You may be in that moment where you don't know what else to do. But God is wanting to put something on the inside of you that says, even when the moments I don't know what to do, something wells up and gets you through. Church, there's still a land to be taken. There is still a city to be won for the kingdom of God. If we think it's going to stop in Mobile, wait until God does it. He'll blow your mind. My faith does not say, let's just get Mobile. My faith says, let's get Baldwin County. Let's get all of Alabama. Let's get Florida. Let's get Mississippi. Let's get Louisiana. Let's get Ohio. Let's get everything for the kingdom of God. That's the call this morning. If you want to advance the gospel and you want to join God in what he started long ago and is completing now, you better get to this altar this morning. If you need a breakthrough, if you need a healing, or you just want to worship him this morning, this place is open. Thank you, Lord God. Go ahead, worship. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.